Bobby started to drift down there in the afternoons. It was only morning baseball now that it was really hot, and by 3 o'clock, fields A, B, and C were deserted. Sooner or later, Harry would walk back from work and pass those deserted fields without Richie or any of his other merry men to keep him company. Meanwhile, Bobby spent the hour between 3 and 4 p.m. each day in the copse of trees, where he had cried with his head in Carol's lap. Sometimes he read a book. The one about George and Lenny made him cry again. Guys like us that work on ranches are the loneliest guys in the world, that was how George saw it. Guys like us got nothing to look ahead to. Lenny thought the two of them were going to get a farm and raise rabbits, but long before Bobby got to the end of the story, he knew there would be no farms and no rabbits for George and Lenny. Why? Because people needed a beast to hunt. They found a Ralph or a Piggy or a big stupid hulk of a Lenny, and then they turned into low men. They put on their yellow coats, they sharpened a stick at both ends, and then they went hunting. But guys like us sometimes get a little of our own back, Bobby thought, as he waited for the day when Harry would show up alone. Sometimes we do. August 6th turned out to be the day. Harry strolled through the park, toward the corner of Broad and Commonwealth, still wearing his red total grocery apron, what a fucking Nimrod, and singing Mac the Knife in a voice that could have melted screws. Careful not to rustle the branches of the close-growing trees, Bobby stepped out behind him and closed in, walking softly on the path and not cocking back his baseball bat until he was close enough to be sure. As he raised it, he thought of Ted saying, "Three boys against one little girl, they must have thought you were a lion." But of course Carol wasn't a lion. Neither was he. He was Sully, who was the lion, and Sully hadn't been there, wasn't here now. The one creeping up behind Harry Doolin wasn't even a wolf. He was just a hyena. But so what? Did Harry Doolin deserve any better? Nope, Bobby thought, and swung the bat. It connected with the same satisfying thud he'd felt at Lake Canton when he'd gotten his third and best hit, the one to deep left. Connecting with the small of Harry Doolin's back was even better. Harry screamed with pain and surprise and went sprawling. When he rolled over, Bobby brought the bat down on his leg at once, the blow this time landing just below the left knee. "Ow!" Harry screamed. It was most satisfying to hear Harry Doolin scream, close to bliss, in fact. "Ow! That hurts! That hurts!" "Can't let him get up," Bobby thought, picking his next spot with a cold eye. "He's twice as big as me. If I miss once and let him get up, he'll tear me limb from limb. He'll fucking kill me."